I got something here on my mind. Seemed like I do. And I don't know. I really don't plan to be in here all night. I'm not even sure I can find my text, to tell you the truth. It's someplace here in this Bible. But I appreciate all these preachers up here on the platform and all the folks that's sitting out there in the pews and just everybody. I know, you know, Friday night, our church, the folks that my wife pastors, that's where she's at. She's back there holding down the fort. They 2 weeks ago, I was in Alabama preaching for Brother Roger Boyd. Last week, I was in Fort Smith, Arkansas, preaching for Brother Gibbs. Tonight and tomorrow, I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio, preaching for you all. Next week, I'll be in Dayton, Ohio, with three or four nights up there with Brother Sutherland. And I'm going back to Missouri between that. Huh? It's not wise, but I've been known to do unwise things before. But I got this thing that's on my mind, and I'm not going to be up here all night. I mean that. Turn to First Chronicles, if you would. First Chronicles, chapter number, I think. Let me look first, just in case. I think, yeah. First Chronicles, chapter number 12. I just got this on my mind. And, boy, that song Sister Brock sung right there about being a soldier of the Lord, that, you know, I brought that little deal with me. I used it at Brother Pasquarella's one night, and I brought it with me tonight because I felt like, I just felt like that. I felt like before I ever left home, I was going to come in here and talk to you about soldiers. And here she is singing a song about soldiers. And I, you know, either she's terribly spiritual or I am. One. But it seemed like that one of the choirs was a-singing earlier. The first song that one of them sung. Seemed like it run through my mind, something about soldiers or something. I can't remember, but I there's one thing I do remember. I do remember how we used to fight to have a wonderful service and a move of God and get somebody delivered in the altar. I remember how we used to fight to do that when we recognized that there was a spirit in our services that didn't belong there. It brought the soldier out of everybody in the house. Oh, yeah, I did. We wasn't satisfied not to have a move in the altar. We wasn't satisfied to have a service where there wasn't some shouting or some kind of emotion of some kind. But, you know, a while ago we had that breakout, and that little feller, I was worried about that little feller when he took out across there. I was worried about it. I was worried when that big feller grabbed that little feller. And they went running around there. I was worried about somebody running by grabbing me. So I did what 95% of y'all did. I quenched the spirit. And let 5% of the folks have a move of God. But we used to have them fighters. We used to. We used to produce a generation of soldiers that would come into the house of the Lord, and they knew more about, you know. But I just want to read this one verse to you. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And thank you for everything, being here. Got a nice room, wonderful place to stay in, it's already been an experience. Has been. Because I packed for one set of clothes and my wife put a different set in. So I already been shopping once since I've been here. And may have to go again before the meeting's over. Boy, I miss her not being here. I do. She's a blessing. Hallelujah. And besides that, she goes out and starts the vehicle when I get in a bind. I'm going to get one of them little starters that starts it from inside the church. We'll get me one of them. Hook it to a few of my folks. Let's see. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 33. Of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000 which could keep rank, they were not of double heart. Lord, if you'll help me, just for a few minutes from those verses, those little phrases in that little verse, I'll appreciate it. In your name we ask it, amen. Y'all can be seated if you want to. And might ought to go ahead and pray over the food. But I can't stress. I am stressed. But I can't stress how desperately we need dedicated folks in our churches. I can't stress that enough. Now, I know you're a dedicated Republican. I know, I hear it. You're a dedicated Democrat. Okay, I hear that. You're a dedicated whatever some of the other groups are. Okay, that's fine. You've been going door to door, beating on, that's wonderful, so does Mormons. And you've been trying to get everybody out to vote. That's okay, the Jehovah's Witness do that too. Yes, they do. Are you getting my drift? I mean, they pull up on their little bicycles and get off in their little white shirts and got their little black neckties, and the family that's renting the house next door to us, renting our parsonage, when she called me and said, my little boy loves coming over to your church. I don't know what the missionaries are going to think. And I said, our missionaries will be thrilled about that. She said, no, the missionaries that come to our house on a regular basis. And she knows me real well, and I said, we've had our house sprayed for that. We've had the parsonage sprayed for that. We don't have stuff like that. She said, they really have a different viewpoint of things. But I just be honest with you, I can't think of one person that goes to the Calvary Pentecostal Tabernacle that rides around on a bicycle going house to house, door to door, talking to folks about, don't everybody get loud because you're going to mess up a totally dead message if you do. But I can't think of anybody that's that diligent. I can't think of anybody that's that dedicated. I see the Jehovah's Witness coming down the road, and I grab a cup of coffee and I go sit out on the front porch and I wait for them. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I kill two things at one time, them and that cup of coffee. Yeah. I see them here. They're coming down the road, and sometimes they come up on my front porch, and they're handicapped, and can't hardly get out of the car. And they come up the porch, and they get up, and are you getting my drift? And then sometimes we gather together, we who are spiritual, full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, men of God sitting in this house tonight that's got the Old Testament memorized, and they're working on the New. We know every Greek term, every Hebrew word. We can turn it inside out and make anything in the Bible go along with what we're wanting to preach. And yet, I'm watching a generation in my church that I can't keep married. I'm watching husbands walk off from their wives. I'm watching children now being raised in single-parent homes. And some of them guys used to be musicians that sat on my platform. I'm looking at the young generation now that's coming along that has at one point has a greater standard in God than that middle age group that I preached to years and years and years ago. I mean, we're picking up things we should have never picked up. We're dragging them in things we should have never drug. We're too tired to sing in the songbook. We're too stressed to get up and down. We're too broke to pay our tithes. I'm telling you, we're raising a generation that's forgot what it's like to be a soldier. Forgot what it's like to come to church and fight to have a move of God. I know, and I can't stress this, but there is nothing better than the made up mind of a young person that has decided that they're going to be a soldier. There's nothing better than that. There's nothing better than that. Unless it's a made up mind of a middle aged person that decided back in their youth that they were going to stay a soldier. But the trouble is, we're making these grand decisions in these revivals and these special meetings and in these youth camps, but we're losing that fight that's in us the rest of the time. Some of our services resemble a funeral home visitation. And some of the... Are you getting this? I'm telling you, some days when I get finished preaching, I go get in the car and I start home, and my wife looks over at me and she'll say, it was good. I'm glad I wasn't even sure she was still breathing. Now, don't look at me like that. I'm telling you, we've transformed ourselves until just because we look right and go to a good place where there's a good man that stands behind the pulpit, then we're justified. But we ain't justified unless we're standing before the King with our swords drawn, ready to fight and be brave against all evil, never run or even lag behind if you would win for God and the right. I'm telling you, we drag into the house of the Lord. We drag into choir practice. We drag into the altar service. We drag to our special spot. We drag there with two tissues. We drag through our special little prayer. We get up and we run to the vestibule to find out where we're going to go eat when the service is over. I'm telling you, brother, sister, we got this battle in the wrong place. We've moved the battle to the vestibule when it ought to still be in the sanctuary of the Lord, where we're in the altar getting a hold. I want to tell you this. I ain't going to be up here all night. I really not. I want to tell you this. I want to tell you this. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. But there are some young folks in the Bible who drew their sword and said, I refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Yeah, there was some young. There was a young guy in that Bible that said, I'd kind of like to have that mountain. And if I can't have it now, I'll wait till I can have it. And when I get 70 or 80 years old, I'm still going to have the sword in my hand and be as excited then as I am right now about the inheritance of the Lord. I tell you what I think we'll do. I think we'll just turn this over to the young folks and let them have it. I'm telling you what I think we ought to do. I think mamas and daddies and preachers, deacons and teachers, everybody in the house of God that's got a stake in this generation, you guys ought to be the generals. You guys ought to be the colonels and the majors that pulls the sword first. The first ones on their feet. The first ones to holler hallelujah. The first ones to get down in the altar. But I'm going to tell you something. Yes, I am. A young guy by the name of David, on the battlefield that day, who asked a simple question. Is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason why we want to keep our young ladies from looking like prostitutes? Isn't there a cause? Isn't there a reason why we want our young men to make good decisions about who they marry and not be interested in cheerleaders? Is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason why we want to keep rock music out of their ears and country music off of their radios? And we want is there not a cause? That's what David said. Isn't there a reason why we shouldn't come to the house of God and fight? Not if you are of the persuasion that there ain't nothing wrong anymore. But I'm telling you, what you had to pray through over yesterday, it's still something that you got to have the victory over today. And just because the times has changed does not mean the soldiers do. Now listen. I tell you this. There was a I preached a message someplace, somewhere, and I used somebody, and a young person, and had them come up and sit on the altar, and after the service that night, I hope I'm done. If this falls towards you, just duck. But I'm trying to be careful here. You know, I don't want to tear this pulpit. Listen, I tell you, I use that young person there in that altar, and after service, that boy, he come up and he said, you know, I really appreciate you using me. And I said, you're welcome. He said, just lets me know that if I'll stay available, God's got a place for me. Man, I wish that kid went to my church. I wish that kid was my kid. I wish that kid was my pastor at my church, and I was his assistant pastor. I wish we could just come into the house of God, everybody lean back in our pew and say, here I am, God. You tell me where to draw the sword. I'll be the first in the... I wish we could do that, but listen at us. Listen at us. Are you listening? Listen at us. Would you pray? Can you pray? Would you worship God? Would you raise your hands? Would you get in? Would you let the Lord... listen at us. Would you come in around the altar? Would you mind if we had revival? Would you, I ain't gonna book it during deer season. I ain't a moron. But would you come? Would you fast and pray? Would you listen at us? I mean, we've turned the pulpit into something that has to beg some kind of allegiance out of folks in the church that ought to have already walked through the door saying, just point me in the direction of the move of God. You don't have to ask me to holler hallelujah or holler glory be to God. I brought my sword with me. If you're here tonight and you're having marriage trouble, I know you are. I can tell it by the look on her face. If you're here tonight and the devil's about, oh, shut up. We know it's a battle. We know it's a fight. We know you're going to have to fight to save your home. Fight to save your church. Fight to save your standard. We know you're going to have to fight to save your children. My problem is I've lost some of the swords that ought to be drawn in our services. And I think it's because some of us are losing our fight. Blessing Jesus. Blessing Lord. That's what we've got Brother Miller here for. Bless, bless. I just hate it when they do it like that. Bless Him, Jesus. Bless Him, Lord. Bless, bless. Ain't He... Bless Him, Jesus. It just riles me up because I know exactly what folks are thinking. That's what we pay you for. I know what they're thinking. That's why we take up offerings and pay our tithes. So you get up there in the pulpit and say what we need to hear said, that we have no intentions of doing. Bless Him. You're doing that to keep us from resigning. But I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. The church is in desperate need of a revival. Our nation is in desperate need of a leader. Our altars are in desperate need of the fire. And I think it's going to take them soldiers fighting the devil to have a move of God again. And if we lose this young generation, we're in trouble. Now don't y'all get quiet. I'm going to tell you this little story I've told before. I tell everything before. I'm going to tell you this little story about the boy who asked for the car keys. Go on a date. Car keys. Dad said, you'll be home 11 o'clock. No matter what, you'll be home 11 o'clock. Huh. 11 o'clock, we don't even make our 12-year-olds get home at that time. You'll be home 11 o'clock. At 11 o'clock, he wasn't there. Dad was walking up and down. Mom was all in dithers, all tore up. The telephone rung. It was the hospital. Hospital said, sir, I just want to tell you right now, don't panic. He's okay. He's okay. He's all right. Had an automobile accident, but he's okay. And the dad said, what? What? Who do you hit? What? What happened while he was on the phone talking to the hospital? His boy come in the door, all muddy and greasy, and just all yucky. And the dad said, "What are you?" And the dad said, "Who are we talking about exactly?" And the lady said, "It's your dad. Your dad has had an automobile accident tonight. He's all right, but he needs you to come down here." So he hung up the phone. And he looked at his boy who had had a flat tire and fixed it out on the side of the road and hurried home so he wouldn't be more than 15 minutes late. And the dad said, "Appears to me we've been worrying about the wrong generation." Don't you all look at me like that. I'm really not running for office. I'm just telling you that sometimes in our observation, we're missing a critical thing. We're trying to age and put a stamp of approval upon certain age groups. But the real thing is, we've got a bunch of churches that are at the hospital. And the nurses are trying to get a hold of folks saying that you better get down here. They've had a wreck. And you need, are you getting this? And we got some of these young folks still praying. I'm just trying to tell you something. We are so warped in our thinking that at 9:15 on a Friday night, there are more people sitting in this room right now that knows more about the ball game that they just had than they do about scriptures that they ought to have memorized. There are people sitting in this room right now that know more about football games than they do about revival or who the evangelists are that try to bring them. I'm telling you, we've had a wreck. And I'm trying to decide which generation it is that had one. But brother, sister, if every one of you from grandma all the way down to the kiddos would grab your sword again and holler, "I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord," I think your priority would change. Oh, yes. Those men went forth to battle. Yeah. Woo! I got some folks like that in my church. I will not have to call and ask to see if they're going to be in the house of God. Leslie will come through that side door, walk across that front with her eyes closed, in one of the biggest migraine headaches you've ever seen in this world, and will sit down on the front row of that church over there. She won't be able to sing. She'll cringe because the music sometimes hurts her. The lights hurt her. Everything about the service hurts her, except it hurts more not to be there. She's a soldier. You hear me? She's a soldier. My God of heaven, nowadays a 30-06 will keep some men in a tree instead of in the house of God on Wednesday night. Nowadays a rod and reel or a little tree. Are you getting this? And I'm telling you, with every soul, that's why they're having trouble in Afghanistan. They sent all the soldiers to Iraq. And Afghanistan's having problems. I don't mean to be rude, but we've sent a lot of our soldiers down to the arena. And we've sent a lot of our soldiers to the ballpark. And we've put a bunch of our soldiers at the mall. And we've scattered ourselves out until it's a breakneck effort to have a move of God on a Friday night. Such as went to battle. There wasn't a draft dodger in the bunch. There wasn't somebody. There wasn't nobody. Oh, I hope he don't call on me tonight. I quit calling on some people. All it took was twice for me. And I quit. Could you sing for us tonight? No, I can't. Does that mean cancer of the Adam apple? Does that mean you have a cert hung someplace around your wisdom tooth? Does it mean that you have a gummy bear where God never intended for gummy bears to stop? What's What does that mean? Or does that mean? Or does that mean you don't want to pull your sword because it require you getting up, require you learning a song, require you practicing a little bit? That's what we've been doing. Let somebody else do it until, brother, sister, we're at a place now when the Holy Ghost moves. If some folks are off visiting or preaching, we don't have anybody now to give a message in tongues and interpretation. That's what we've done. We can't have a move of God this weekend. How come? Brother Hyde ain't here. Boy, we can't have a move of God this weekend. Why? Because when the Holy Ghost speaks in our church, Brother Miller or Brother Gallagher gives the interpretation, and they're off preaching someplace. That's why they ought to stay home at church. They've gone too much. I tell you why we go. We go so other churches can see what it's like to have tongues and interpretation. Are you listening? Soldiers, my friend, that when they come into the house of God, they came to have church. They came to have a service. They came to have songs. They came to get in. They didn't come to sit. They didn't buy a ticket for a padded pew. They came because their marriage and their children and their job depends upon a move of the King. Yes, expert with all of the instruments of what. And I can hear some of you right now. He is so old fogey. Them swords. That is so, and I really considered bringing an AR with me tonight. But I was afraid that some folks would just absolutely have a coronary. So, for those of you that think I'm not modern enough, I'm fixing to get modern with my sword. Oh, yeah. Now, the thing that you all have to worry about is that other sword is about as dull as my messages. I ordered it that way. There ain't an edge anywhere on it that would do anything that needed to be done. This one, on the other hand, is ready to shave your sorry hide. I have to be careful with it. I have to be just as expert with this one as I was with the other one, or I'll lose my leg someplace below the kneecap. But I'm telling you, brother, sister, these men that come and stood before David, they knew how to sling a sling. They knew how to hold a shield. They knew how to wear a helmet. They knew how to put the shot, they knew how to put the breastplate on. They knew how to do it when they got there. Nobody had to say, can you, will you, do you know? Nobody had to. When they stepped up on the scene, they were as trained as they were in the book of Acts. When the Holy Ghost stepped up on the scene, I'm telling you, brother, sister, they were trained in what they were doing. Now listen. There's some folks, if you take their guitar away from them, that's the last part of the service that you'll ever see them in, because that's the only sword they got. Some of them, if you take their saxophone and say, you're not going to be able to play tonight, that lets all the wind out of their balloon, because that's the only reason they came. Oh, you're going to get quiet. I don't know how you can. You're going to get quiet. You let the Holy Ghost move. I've had them do it. I didn't come for shouting. I didn't come for all that hollering. I come to hear some preaching. Well, you are right now, and you ain't doing much better with that than you was the shouting a while ago. I tell you what we're saying. We're saying we've got a little area of the service that we really like. We don't care about nothing else. We don't care about anything else. We want it to go our way. That's not what those soldiers said. They stepped before David and said, if you tell me to get on my belly, if you tell me to charge, if you tell me to attack, I can do it because I've come to be a soldier. of those different kind of areas. You ever know anybody in your church that loves to sing and can't? You know anybody in your church that loves to play drums and doesn't know how? You know anybody in your church that if you hear they've turned a youth service over to them, you manage to be 45 minutes late because you just can't stand that little boy that just stands up there and reads, man, you're getting quiet again. Are you getting this? I'm telling you, these experts in war, and I don't mean to be crude with you at all, but I tell you, them youngins that can't hardly carry a tune in a bucket, that just get in there and sing. Most of the time, they're there every service. Hollywood hasn't asked for them. Nashville didn't try to pick them up. Southern gospel music didn't win them out the door. They just keep coming to the house of God. They know they'll never make a record, but they sure know how to swing a sword. They can sing. Are you getting this? I'm telling you, before the church ever moved up to Hollywood level, we could have a barn burning, old-fashioned move of God. Take the alcohol out of the building. Shout the tobacco right out of their lives. Now we change the bylaws so those folks that drink and smoke can still vote. Oh, you're looking at me like I just got out. And I probably did. But the good thing is tomorrow afternoon, some of you don't have to come back. But I do. Round two. And I'm telling you, this thing about expert in war, that just meant they knew how to practice. They knew how to get with it. They knew what to do. And I'm telling you, you give me 50 young folks that come into this church house, get here an hour early. You give me one Devin Judd that'll get to my church an hour early, have the lights on and the door open, come inside, and he is already so lost in prayer that I know that's the reason why that kid that can preach like a veteran. You give me about 50 of those, and I'll tell you something, brother, sister, we'll make the corner where you sit feel very, very insecure. Because, brother, in the middle of this battle, we're not looking for just these little pockets. We're looking for an overall army. And I'm doing whatever I can do tonight to get you to realize you put your sword down too long ago. You quit too long. Well, I'm telling you, Brother Hyde, this is a youth night. This is a youth. Yeah, that's the same people that don't like to go to youth service. That's the same kind of people who don't. Are you getting this? This ain't age, gender. I'm telling you, brother, sister, it's Holy Ghost inflamed. And from the oldest to the youngest. I told about this guy, I think, at Brother Pasquarellas. But if I didn't, I should have. He was at Richlands this year. I wish I knew his name. He's an older guy. He looks a little older than Brother Ingram, even. Older guy. You know him. Think about it. Bald-headed fella that just kind of comes. Think hard. He come out that one night. Is that his name? That's his tribe. He's of the tribe of the White Hawks. Yeah. That guy come out there, come walking up there toward the front. And Brother Horton reached over and he said, he's been real sick. Man, my real sick folks don't even come. Here he come, up there at that altar. And they got to praying for him. And I am not mocking this guy. I am not. But how old do you think he is? He's an old feller. Yeah. He calls me a whippersnapper. Huh? He got up there, and they got to praying for him. And Brother Horton kept saying, watch him. And I was watching him. He come across there. And he come up that platform. Now you watch. He come up that platform. He curved back down around that platform. He hopped up on the altar. He walked down that altar. He'd been sick. He'd been sick. He's been sick. He's been sick. Got an ear infection. Been listening to the World Series. He's been sick. Here he goes. Here he come. Here he come. Here he come. And then it happened. Then it happened. Yes, it happened. He stepped up in that front pew, and he started down the back of them pews to the back of that tabernacle. That tabernacle. And he turned around. He come back. And Brother Horton said, if he hadn't been sick, he'd have done that 2 or 3 times. Oh, yeah. Well, I remember when I got the Holy Ghost that night. It was a cold little lantern. I was in an old mud hut, sawdust floor, and I rolled around in there until when I got up, I looked like the abominable snowman. But I had the Spirit of God and the power of God. Okay. Okay, right outside the door. We've spread sawdust. If that's what it takes, let's do it again. Are you listening? But I don't think we have to rewrite history to have a move of God. I think you just have to pull your sword and tell God, I'm still a soldier full of the Holy Ghost and fire. And I am not going to be up here the rest of the night, but I'm going to be up here long enough to tell you that the Bible said they could keep rank. They could keep rank. That's not skating rank. They could keep rank. That's not the smell of our bodies. They could keep rank. That's not talking about down at the football field or a bunch of our cheerleaders standing out half naked so every pedophile in the bleachers can look down and want to molest our daughters. Not that kind of rank, you hear me? They knew how to stand side by side. And if one of the men fell, they knew how to step over, fill in the gap, and make up the hedge, and never let it be seen that there was a weakness anywhere in the house of the Lord. Now listen! Listen! I hate it! I hate it that some of my buddies have fallen. I hate it! I hate it that some of my friends have bit the dust. I hate it. I hate it. But I don't hate it enough that I'm going to stand back and say, if they can't make it, I don't know. That's a homeless preacher there. I don't hate it enough that I'm going to back up and lay my sword down and quit preaching holiness just because they did. I'm not going to be unfaithful to my wife just because they was. I'm not going to black mark the pulpit and take a step out of it and give another generation a reason to be embarrassed. Not me. I got in this thing to keep rank. I want all of you to make it, but just in case you don't, I'm not going anyway. You didn't hear me. I want all of you to be Pentecostal. But just in case you don't, I'm going to stay Pentecostal. I don't think you have to act like me, preach like me, look like me. But I do think that there ought to be some kind of emotion coming out of somebody, someplace, who claims to be filled with the Holy Ghost and fire. I had a deacon in one church who, when you had him testify, he always liked to testify about what he used to be. And that's okay, as long as you don't leave us where you used to be. But he never had the ability of bringing this up to where he's at right now, because he wasn't far from where he used to be. Don't look at me like that. Some of you all sought the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You prayed in an altar. You push back the Wheaties. You quit eating your oatmeal. Some of you even turned against grits for a week. You prayed for God to fill me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. We tarried around some services till 1 or 2 in the morning to get some of y'all filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And my question tonight is, can you still get in the rank? Can you still step up and say, if somebody falls beside me, I still got what it takes to put the battle over the top? If you don't, I'm preaching to you tonight. Keep rank. You hear me? Moses, Abraham, the people, the Lord, the visitors came to him out there in that desert. And the Bible said he prepared for all of them. And when they took off, he went off walking with them. He went with them. They were talking to him about what they were going to do down at Sodom. Are you listening to me? Don't you all, don't get quiet. Just listen. In the New Testament, they walked with Jesus at different places. Even Mary and Martha prided themselves in knowing who Jesus was. But that's not why they walked with Him. That ain't why they walked with Him. They walked with Him so they could walk around in front of Him and say, Jesus, just a minute. My brother is dead, and I need you. They didn't just walk beside him to be counted among them. Abraham walked in front of that angel and said, just a minute, before you go down there and destroy Sodom, will you save 50? Will you say, are you getting this? The reason we come into these services, have Pentecostal moves of God, it ain't so it can just say, and we walk with Him and we talk. We do it so we can turn around, get in front of Him and say, Lord, I need to make intercession. My children are lost. My church needs revival. These soldiers knew how to get in front of the King. Diligent, practiced, Bible's closed. This in my pocket. You just have to watch me there. Since I can tell some of you ain't going to even go for your pocket knife, I'll go for both of these. Because the Scripture said they weren't of double heart. They weren't of double heart. What they believe with their left hand, they believed it with their right hand. What they believed on Sunday morning, they believed it Monday. What they wore to church Sunday night, that's how you would catch them at home in the backyard mowing the grass on Tuesday. Oh, you're really, you know the truth of the matter. Everybody in this church 20 minutes ago should have been jumping up and down saying, oh, glory be to God, this is what we had. Used to ask what we used to have, this is what. And now, look, as we kind of draw up because we're afraid that the guy in the pulpit is going to cut in to our little pet that we have. Oh, yes. And you keep sitting there looking at me like that. I'm going to go to slicing. Yeah, I am. I'm telling you, we got folks that's as comfortable singing I'll Fly Away on Sunday night, and you know every Hank Williams song. We got folks coming to the house of God. Amen, Brother David Miller. Preach holiness, and you send money to that idiot that's on the television that you ought not have. We have... Y'all just keep sitting there. I'm starting to feel anointed now. I mean, here we are. They're not of double heart. They came to the forefront and they told David, we'll fight for you today. I'll be fighting for you in the morning. I'll be fighting for you the next day. I'll be fighting for it. You get this? Are you getting this? I'm telling you, they're not some little Friday night spasm that just blows up on a special youth night. No. Where's that kid that grabbed that kid? Yeah, Jesus. See how close you get to me? Where was we just at when you couldn't stand still? Was it the highway? Was it? Does anybody remember? Was that where we were just at? Yeah, Switzers, Texas. He about turned some of them guys against barbecue. He got to coming across there just like he did tonight. You saw him, didn't you? Yeah. Who is that kid anyway? The question is, not who is that kid. The question is, why ain't we chasing him? That's the question. I tell you that same way. And it may drastically look like that I'm in a terrible shape right now, but I still got almost another hour before the soup is on. But I got a feeling between now and then, instead of worrying about soup, we're going to worry about re-enlisting. We're going to worry about checking and making sure that our name is on the same line that it was back in 1942, back in 1953, back in 1958, back in 1961, back in 1965, back when you was called to preach, back when you felt the glory and the power of God. I just think if I could get this many people in this room to everybody say it at once, I need to get back. I need to get moved. I need to get back. I don't think there's an addiction in the house that would be comfortable in this room in the next 10 minutes if this many people in this church came back. I don't think something you brought to this church has to go home with you. I don't think the trouble in your marriage has to stay there. I don't think the deadness in your Sunday school class has to lay there. I don't think the deadness in your preaching. Oh, it's the weekend. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? It's the weekend. Man, help me, God. What am I going to do? It's the weekend. Ain't there somebody I can call to fill in for me? Because I'm telling you, back to that place that you can't wait to get in front of the King. You can't wait to grab the sword. You can't wait to feel the Spirit of God. You can't wait to hear the devils being cast out and the sickness being healed and the people shouting and rejoicing in the house of God. For my altar song tonight, Sister Sharon Brock. Is going to come back up here for me. Is she still here? Oh, thank God. Man, if you'd have left, I'd have had to send 20 of them looking for you. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. Well, it's kind of a quiet moment, and ain't everything supposed to... Don't get nervous. Too many youth camps for you to get nervous. Too many youth camps. Don't get nervous. There's going to be something start raising up inside of some folks that says, I have been sick entirely too long, and I need to get up with faith tonight. Don't get nervous.
I never would ever do or say anything unless I felt it from God, from in my soul. It's It's been about 3 weeks since God called me back. I left him for such a long time. I left him. I lay in my bed at night. I could not sleep. And I looked for alternatives. For what I didn't have that God gave me. Today, I went out to my garage. Two years ago, my dad built me a prayer closet. And today, I clean that prayer closet out. As soon as I got in that prayer closet, all I could do was fall on my knees and cry to God. Because, not because I was in the prayer closet, but because of where He brought me from. And you know what? I've got 3 teenage boys that are here tonight, and they're worth fighting for. I don't care what it takes. Remember me, remember my face. I'll die serving God. I made up my mind, I'm determined, whatever it takes. I'll die if it's the last breath I pray. Pray for my sons to be saved. It doesn't matter what it takes. It's worth fighting for. It said it's worth fighting for. Don't never find yourself where you're in a position to where you can't swing that sword.
That's right.
Because I want to tell you, when you put it down, it's a lonely walk without God. And I'm telling you what, the loss of this world is worth fighting for.
Now listen, I have preached youth camps and had guys just like that waiting for me to finish to come up and testify. I've had them scheduled to do that. I've had them scheduled to. Because sometimes when you get finished preaching, if you don't just keep on a pulling, but there's some nights that you don't have to schedule nothing. There's some nights that the Holy Ghost just clouds up over a place and says it's right, and you know it's right. And He starts pulling you out. He starts pulling you out. He starts bringing you out. I mean, some husband and wife right now could take each other by the hand, step out into an aisle, come down to this altar, throw their hands straight up to God, and be the next illustration for this sermon. Right here tonight, somebody that's discouraged and you're battling one medicine cabinet to the next. The nerve medicine has got you so distraught that you can't live and you can't. I'm telling you, you could come out of there right now with your hands up. He put a sword in it before you get to the front. And deliverance. Start running up and down your backbone. You hear me? That's the power of the Pentecostal church. That's the power of holiness. That's the power of being called a God. That's what it's like to be a soldier. When you are wounded, you bring your wound to the King, and He heals you. crazy here, but I do want some husband to reach over and take his wife by the hand and say, "Sweetheart, let's go down that aisle, down toward the front of this church. Grab his sis. If it looks like he ain't about to move, just reach over and say, let's step out. We didn't come tonight to do this, and we wasn't thinking about this before we left the house, but let's just step out and start down to the front and see if the Holy Ghost will meet with us before we get up there to the front. Oh, my God. My God, you thought I was just preaching so you could read one scripture out of the book of Chronicles? No, I'm a preaching so you could take revival back home to your church, back to your house, and back to your... I'm looking for a husband and a wife. Quick, hurry, hurry. I don't care what your position. I don't care. I mean, just some husband and wife in there. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. Just stand, grab each other by the hand and say, if we don't shake out of what we're in and let the Holy Ghost have His way in our life, we're going to lose everything. We can save some stuff tonight in this church. I mean, we can save some reputations. We can save some things tonight. I mean, you're standing in the service right now. You know that what you prayed through over, you're doing it. You know 20 years ago what you promised God. Now then, everybody's doing it. And therefore, you don't think God cares anymore. I want you to come out of there. I want you to step out into an aisle. I want you to come back down. Is it just for what? Just for one young man that'll get down here and confess that I fell away and I'm coming back? I'm telling you, if you want revival, if you want revival to break out in the middle of where you are right now, I wish you'd just step out into an aisle, throw your hands up to God, and tell Him, start right here. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, and I want to sharpen my sword before I go home. I mean, you're in here, and you haven't prayed through to the Holy Ghost in so long. You don't know if you still have Him. Step out of there with your hands up. Come this direction down toward the front of this building. We'll spread sawdust if we have to. Turn out the lights and ride on horses. But I don't think it's necessary. We just need you to want God to help you more than anything else in the service. Quick. Quick. Well, I thought when Sister Brock got to say, she's going to. It's all right. She's going to. But I'm telling you, brother, sister, the soldiers are the ones in here that just can't hardly wait to get down here. I'm trying to get those folks that don't want to come down here. That's the ones I'm working on. That's all right. That's all right. Three or four more steps, sis, this direction. I'm looking for somebody else in this church. They don't want to go home like you came. Well, I thought this was a youth night. It is. It is. The church is just as youthful as she ever was. And the Holy Ghost just as youthful as He ever was.